This is CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. What's up? How you doing? What's going on out there? It's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. How do you guys like that? That was Mr. Amit Tilly. Shots fired. So that's a new feature, a little new feature I'm going to be doing on the show. In fact, check out, look out in your inboxes for the emails. They're going to have some of those. They're going to have some of those clips coming through. We've constructed one or two of those little tags as let's call them tags for now. But you know, shots get fired on this show. And Amit Tilly was one of the first clips that I knew I had to create in order to just kind of remind ourselves and each other that shots get fired on this show. But it's been another great advertising week. The amazing response to last week's show. I feel like overwhelmingly everyone just felt like, you know, there were a lot of great things that were tackled in the show. Amit went in, like I said, and he made everyone kind of, you know, think about the game a little differently and think about the game some more. But you know, once again, the beautiful thing about podcasts, about this land of podcasts, is that it doesn't mean that show is gone. And I mean, if you look back at all the other shows that I've done before that, you'll know that there's been some dope content. So don't forget to go to the podcast. Go to Cliff Central podcast and get downloads of the previous shows that you might have missed. You want to hear some of the stuff that's been said before. I've had crazy ass guests on the show and some inspiring people as well. But yeah, I mean, so go out there, get the podcast. So today I want to talk about a couple of things. I've got a guest as usual, but I want to chat about a couple of things before we get to that. So it's been a crazy week in the country. We've had the amazing Payback the Money go down, and you might ask yourself, what does that have to do with branding? But actually, it caught me that, you know, here's this brand new, well, it's not actually brand new, because this brand has actually existed since 1982. Here's this brand, VBS Bank, right? We haven't known about this bank. I didn't need to know about it. In fact, somebody, I just got schooled outside, that there are apparently about 100 bank licenses in South Africa. But you never actually get to hear about them because, well, obviously branding. They're the ones that we call the Big Four. And obviously they're the ones that are out there and we get to hear about all the time. But here's this VBS Bank, you know, all the way out in Venda. These guys have been running since 1982, been running a bank financed by people like the Venda royal family, and obviously by the people who put deposits into the bank. But they were able to hand over a mortgage, a loan to Pra Jacob of 7 meters, you know. I can only imagine what that's going to do for this brand, and whether they're actually going to jump onto this and realize that the brand has become is at the tip of everyone's tongue, and actually capitalize on that and make the brand bigger. Or maybe these are the kind of things where the brand doesn't actually want to become bigger. Maybe the brand wants to stay small in order to maintain its independence. I mean, I know that might sound familiar to you small agencies out there, wanting to remain small in order to retain your independence. But I think it's an amazing opportunity for them. It's probably the biggest and most understated marketing campaign, if that's what it was, that they've put out there, because essentially all of us are talking about it right now. I saw some memes, people talking about, you know, the queues outside VBS Bank right now, people looking for loans. Because that's what all of us are talking about now. Everyone's talking about this VBS Bank and where they're coming from. And I'm very interested. I'm going to be watching that with a very close eye. And I know you are going to be too, just to find out how that brand's going to are they really going to blow up after this, or are they just going to stay, you know, the way they've been all along? But that's VBS Bank. The money's been paid. Hopefully the conversation can change now. But I mean, there's a conversation for other shows. This is not a show about Payback the Money. I do want to, though, talk about stuff that is advertising related. The Pendlerangs were being judged this week, or was it last week? Last week. So I'm looking on the site here, and I recognize a couple of people who were judging. Good friend of the show, Mr. Fitzas Masekwameng, was one of the judges out there. Shout out. Wing Wing was there as well. The likes of Smooth Toilet. All three people I've mentioned have been on the show. So Lucky Shabangu, who's been on the show as well. People including the likes of Tian, Mulifi, Antoinette as well. So the judging happened last week. I'm a big fan of the Pandorings. I know that there's been a whole bunch of back and forth about, you know, the validity of it and all that. I don't want to get involved in all those politics. I'm a big fan of the Pandorings. Anything that kind of feels like we're still talking about the stuff that is actually South African, about doing South African work. And I know the Luries are all about South African work, but you know, I've always been a fan of the Pandorings, mostly also because you win money. You know, with the other award shows, you win a trophy. And the trophy is nice, but you know, our parents paid school fees, a lot of school fees, so money is always appreciated. And in this case as well, people are still winning money. So the finalists are going to be announced on Friday, the 16th of September, and the overall winner, right, is going to win. Hold on, wait for it. A cash prize of 100,000 rand. Hold on. The overall winner, who will respectively receive the Prestige Award and the Umpeta Award, will both win a cash prize of 100,000 rand, comprising an overseas study trip. Right. See. So it's not necessarily money. It's 100,000 rand towards an overseas trip. So that's cool. But each gold winner is actually going to win 6,000 rand cash. Silvers are going to win 2,500 rand cash, and students are going to win 20,000 rand, 10,000 rand for the overall Afrikaans winner. So there's a lot of money, and I'm a fan of that, guys. Because it's the thing that our parents have always asked us. You know, you won a lorry. I remember calling my dad after having won a gold lorry. And I called him on the phone. I was excited. I was in Margate. And I said, "It's tolle, I get a gold caverne." But and then he said to me, "So, chelt here?" And I said, "No. There's no chelt here. There's just a bird, a gold bird." And he said, "Okay, prabujo man, eh?" Yeah. And he just gave the phone over to my mom, because there's no money in this thing. And so I'm happy. I would have been very happy to have called him from the Pandorings, because, you know, I would have at least 6,000, you know, or 10K. But yeah, so congratulations to everyone. Good luck to everyone who's entered the Pandorings, with the finalists coming up on Friday. Get out there, go win yourself this prestigious trip, whether it's for the Prestige or the Umpeta Award, and go win yourself some cash, man. That shit is dope. Anyway, let's get to this guest of mine that I have today. You know, I spend a lot of time with this guy, and you're gonna actually understand why as our interview goes, because I'm also gonna be answering something that a lot of people have been asking me. I've had phone calls from the likes of Chris Charu, wanting to know, you know, the answer to this question, but it's gonna get answered here today. So this guy, at some point around 2014, I remember seeing an article, and it was something about Island Devonport putting together an enterprise development program, and in and amongst in there, there were words, and there were a lot of words that were said, and then they mentioned the word Bakoni Media. So Bakoni Media was essentially a part of this program that these guys had started, or something to that effect. But I'm gonna let the guy who's here explain the thing to you. Now if you've met this guy, you're gonna be surprised at how nervous he seems to be today. You know, he is struggling for breath. But I guarantee you, it's gonna be just fine. I spent a lot of time with him in studio, in the office. And people come through and they're looking for Joel. Joel Lebet. And I'm like, I don't know Joel. There's no Joel in this place. So I'm gonna introduce him as the guy I know him to be. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mr. Juska. Juska. How you doing, Juska? That's what's up.
My brother, man.
Aren't you happy that the horn is back? I mean, I thought Touch had taken the horn from me with Touch Central, but the horn is back, Juska.
I was going to ask, actually.
In fact, I was going to actually tell people that you brought the horn. You know, you went to Touch and you opened Touch's office and you grabbed the horn and you brought it out here. So the horn's back in the house, y'all. But also, Juska Lebete is in the building. Joe, what's going on, brother?
I'm good, and you, my good man?
I'm good. See what I told you? I told you it's going to be fine. Calm yourself down. Breathe. It's going to be cool. I mean, the only pressure that exists is the fact that people like Amit Tilly sat in the chair. First, that's Pasekwa Ming. You know, Tumsan Paga.
No pressure. None whatsoever.
But how you doing, man? Tell us what you're up to, man.
It's been a crazy year. Yep. Crazy good. There's been a lot of interesting things that have been happening in the business world,
right,
in the advertising world,
yeah,
and we've been running, and I mean, you're here,
yeah,
you know, join the team, you know.
thanks, Juska. So that's the thing I wanted to announce to you guys. So everyone has been asking me, you know, what has happened? I mean, Chris Sharu actually sent me a message and he said, dude, I heard you left advertising. And he sent me that tearful message. But I reassured him that I've gone nowhere. The advertising, I'm not lost to the advertising world, not by a long shot. You guys are not going to get rid of me that easily. If anything, I can officially announce to those of you who don't know that Bakoni Media is actually where I rest this head. If I can call it that. So I've partnered up with Juska. Joel, can I play the horn for myself?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So I've partnered up with Juska at Bakoni Media, and we are a couple of people trying to take over the world. I figured let's get Juska in here to essentially just kind of tell you more about Bakoni Media. It's not me, waiting for those conversations that we all have at the Lurie's, where you're going to bump into me when we're having a tequila and you're going to say to me, yo, Bruce, so where you at? Yo, really? You left Ogilvy. It's been a while. So we're gonna get Juska to explain everything that Bakoni Media is about. And then we're going to talk about him. We're gonna talk about the guy who essentially came up with this crazy idea that I'm a huge part of now. And I'm very proud part of. So yeah, that's what's up. Grant Stoller is partner and ECD at Bakoni Media. I'm gonna horn me up again. So,
two horns left, eh?
I've got about two horns left. So Juska, talk to us about Bakoni Media. Where does Bakoni Media, where does that hail from? Why do you come up with a crazy idea like, let me just start an agency? Talk to us.
Well, look, it wasn't a crazy idea. Interestingly so, my first year in AAA,
What year was that?
I think 2005.
The 90s.
No, it wasn't the 90s. So I mean, when you're doing copywriting on art direction,
right,
most of the work that you do is done in English,
right,
you know what I mean, and it got a bit frustrating. I mean, coming from Limpopo,
right,
and I remember we were in the office and we were talking about that Iron Brew ad.
Iron Brew Chaufiti, sir.
Yeah, you know what I mean, and that really got my attention, you know. So I had a chat with her and she said that the opportunity in this industry going
who
forward,
did you have a chat with?
The
lecturer.
Well, her name was Carmen, at me.
Right. Well.
So
shout out AAA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the opportunity there that she noted was that the industry going forth is that looking at the mass market, which is 80% of the market, we're gonna need to change the way we think.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And unfortunately, I mean, I was doing my first year. You can't really do anything much about that.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to go through that whole school fees business.
Yes.
You know, and I studied integrated visual communications.
Yeah.
And graduated from there, did integrated marketing communications, and then
wait a minute. So you went from being a creative, and then you went and studied to be a client service.
Funny when I got to AAA, because I actually read about AAA in some magazine,
right?
And I knew nothing
in Limpopo.
About, yeah, but
you're the third Limpopo person I've got on the show. You know that, right?
Guys, Limpopo is the future. Eh?
Hey, this Impopulu invasion is going to be a problem in my life. Yeah, sorry, I interrupt you. Go ahead.
I noted that your speed years have improved quite well.
Let's carry on, please.
So from there, I mean, I got into the industry, my first partner, funny enough, was Napoli Masinga. I was
shout out Napster.
Yeah.
Shout out Napster. What's going on?
Amazing guy. We did some great work together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we inspired each other. And Napster was always entrepreneurial, you know, and
right.
He started Napster Entertainment. I always watched them go around, you know,
yeah.
And it inspired me quite a lot, you know.
Right.
But I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But I knew that, obviously, coming from an entrepreneurial background within my family,
right.
I realized that, look, there has to be something bigger than me sitting here and actually working on layouts and art direction. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's been
and doing it for someone else.
And at that time, that wasn't the idea.
Okay,
but
got you.
Generally, the frustration, because the frustration came from the people that I was reporting to,
yeah,
didn't get what I was trying to say,
right,
or what I was trying to do, and the direction that they took me in didn't, yeah, make sense for me.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So having that frustration and those ideologies, 5 years down the line,
yeah.
I decided, look, you know, I was actually in the middle of a presentation, and I wrote my resignation letter.
In the middle of a presentation?
Yeah.
Right.
That is
exactly where most epiphanies happen, really, in the middle of presentations.
And I wrote a resignation letter, and the resignation letter, funny enough, was just based on a 3,000 rand increase, which they didn't want to give me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And 3K, yeah.
And at that time, I just had a daughter.
Yeah.
And 3,000 rand could have gone a long way in my world. You know what I mean?
And you obviously didn't want to be enduring, because, you know, then you would have had 6,000.
You know what I mean? 3,000 rand extra.
You know what
I mean? Yeah.
So
I sat there and then I resigned, and they asked me, where are you going? And I said, I have no bloody idea, but this is not where I want to
That's
be.
That's what's up.
You
That's
know what I mean?
Up.
I left, funny enough, I actually started an agency with a white lady called Linda. Our first office was there in Melrose, in some little room.
Linda
there.
Who? Let's call Linda out. What's Linda's surname? Linda who?
Linda Schwartz.
That's what's up. Shout out Linda Schwartz. Believing in this baby.
So going from there, we had this little room, just two little Macs and the phone.
That's dope.
And we sat there and we made blind calls, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we got into presentations and stuff like that. And I think the lessons that came from there is what got me to this point today.
And was that place also called Bakoni Media? Is that where the name came from, or what was that?
No, called? It was called NK Media. I just love the media part, and I'll tell you about it as we go. Such
there
a baby thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's really, really cool.
And like I said, I'll tell you about where the media part also comes into play.
But do you think that was an important part? I mean, we've had conversations before with the likes of Sibusiso and Gola about how partnerships were essential in them kind of making the call to go out there and start their own thing. Would you have done it if you were going it alone, or was it essential that you had someone like Linda with you?
I think you can't do it alone at the end of the day, and because we've got different strengths, and obviously different ideas in terms of how to do things, you know what I mean? And I think collaborations are quite important, not just from an individual perspective, but also from a business perspective, you know what I mean? Because in great partnerships, that's where the greatest successes actually come from,
And I've seen many an ad campaign about that. But we won't talk about that right now, but I hear what you mean. Yeah.
So it was quite important, and going back to the conversation of the whole Island Devonport thing.
Yeah.
So it failed.
What failed?
The agency failed.
Right.
And the reason why is because of access to market and not being able to crack it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're quite small.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a presentation with Pernod Ricard.
Right.
And I was driving there in my little Yaris.
That's what's up.
And I only had 150 rands in my pocket.
Wow.
And a laptop. So I got there, and these guys wanted to meet at the Radisson.
Hey, they're killing you right now,
so
son.
I got there, and this is the head of Pernod Ricard. I'm meeting up with Shaylee and Campbell. They flew down. They had a meeting here, so I hijacked that meeting.
Wow.
Dom Krach.
Is this the Radisson Incentive?
The Radisson Incentive.
And there's a KFC not far from there.
No.
You guys could have gone there.
It was their idea. I couldn't say no. I'm trying to pitch to them. You know what I mean? So I got there. And I had this presentation done up. It was actually a dope presentation. It made a lot of sense, and they liked it. But they looked at me. They said, "Look, you know, you've got a lot of balls, actually. Coming here, one man show, trying to present this big concept and big idea for a big brand, but you're not even big at all. You know what I mean? How are you gonna stuff up? And at that point in time, I didn't actually even have the answers.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll see. Give me 2 days, I'll figure this out, you know. But unfortunately, I didn't get it. But what got me to this point is that it's the school fees that I had to pay in terms of understanding the business world and that of advertising more than the creative side. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
Because I think the creative side we can do, and I mean it's standard that you need to be talented of some sort.
This,
you know what I mean? But the business side it's another world altogether. It's a different beast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's obviously a beast that you are attracted to.
I love
because you know you went from being a creative working with the likes of Napster, and then went on to the other side and embraced this business beast.
Like I said, I mean, it's the school fees that I had to get first in terms of understanding the day-to-day operations, and then move into the idea of actually starting or running a business, you know?
Yeah. So you were also about to tell us about then the transition to the Island Devonport deal. How does that come about?
So what?
He laughs. Our shot's gonna be fired. Yeah.
No shots today.
Should I prep the gun?
So at that point in time, like I said, I mean, I started this thing and I didn't even tell my parents that I actually resigned. So I was broke.
Parents don't want that thing.
Yeah, no. I mean, the AAA, you can imagine, it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
You know, so I left AAA. Now they've paid so much money. Yeah. Now I'm in the streets. Do you know what I mean? Trying to be a entrepreneur. You know what I mean? And I spent the entire year actually under false pretense that I'm actually working, but I'm trying to run this thing. So
I'm sure there's a lot of people who can relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot.
Yeah.
Who pretended to be working.
Yeah.
But they're not. Yeah. Some of them are in agencies pretending to be working, but they're not. Yeah.
At that time, I was already in another business, in poultry, and it was also kind of kickstarting, you know. Yeah. So we got funding from the government. Shout out to the government.
Shout out government.
You know.
Yes.
So, but unfortunately, I mean, you starting to build that kind of business, and it's a world that I grew up understanding. So right, it was quite an easy transition. But unfortunately, my love and my passion for advertising still remained. So. Right. I was bored. I was in the middle of bloody Hammanskraal, you know what I mean, chasing chickens, you know.
Yeah.
And I got a call from John Davenport, and he said, "Look, can you come through? We need your help on a certain campaign."
Did you have a relationship with John Davenport before?
Funny enough, I didn't.
Okay.
Funny enough,
it was a blind call as well.
A blind call to me through Maloto Tobejani.
Right. Hey, Petty's sticking together. Shout out Lodo.
Told you taking over. and then I got in. We literally spent less than 30 minutes, and the chemistry was there, and we started working. And I saw a lot of money freelancing there.
Yeah.
So, which I haven't seen in a while. And all I wanted was just 3,000 rands. You see, so from 3,000 to a lot of money. So I sat there and look, they gave me a proposition. They said, "Look, would you like to continue working for us?" And I said, "There is no way I'll ever actually go back into the same system again."
That's right.
You know what I mean? And I had my reasons reserved within that idea. And they said, "How can we keep you here in terms of you helping out from a creative strategic perspective and also being a creative?"
Right.
You know, I said, "I want to start an agency." And they looked at me and they laughed. and it took me 8 months of convincing the Island Davenport crew that I actually want to start a company.
Wow.
But eventually it made sense in terms of the BEE procurement systems, right, and all of that. And they said, and one day John came to me and said, "Okay, let's do it." You know what I mean?
Let's
and
go.
now I have to do it, but I don't know what to do.
That's,
you know what
stuff.
I mean?
Shout out John Davenport.
You know what I mean? And we've been friends ever since, you know? And I'm so grateful for the opportunity that I got, you know what I mean? And also the guidance and the help that I got in terms of understanding not just the creative, but the business side of things, you
That's
know what
right.
I mean? So I kind of spend a lot of time in terms of understanding that aspect.
So, I mean for the benefit of the people listening out there, I mean, because I understand it, but what is your relationship with that? What does that entire thing, the model, look like? You know, with you and Alan Davenport. You know, I also happen to know that there's, you know, a thing called, they've got these labs that form the bigger part of what Alan Davenport is. What's your relationship with that right now?
So,
how does that work? How does that model work?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. I knew it was gonna come at some point.
Yeah, here we are. So
I mean, in terms of getting Bagoni in the system, I mean, we worked on the likes of Vodacom, South African Tourism, Top TV.
You know
what I mean. And that was a great opportunity in terms of being introduced in the business world.
That's,
you know,
right.
Up until we became independent.
Yeah,
you know, and our first big client was Ukuruleni Rapid Transport System.
There we go.
You know, and that actually catapulted us and gave us the space or the foundation to actually start running. And up until we actually got our first big retainer, and then we've been running
ever since
till today. You know,
and
I believe that with opportunities like that, and we were talking earlier on that, you know, there's so many opportunities, but how to access those opportunities is actually a mission.
That's right.
And with the red tape and bureaucracy that has been built around the industry right now, you know what I mean? The Big Four. Yes. I won't mention them. Yes, you know, yes, what yes. I mean? Global realignments. So as local companies, it becomes a challenge to actually unlock those opportunities, because just getting into being a vendor, it's a challenge. That's, you know, right, what I mean? Because you're not globally aligned with WPP. Sorry, I mentioned that, but I had to. You know what I mean? Or publicists. You know what I mean? It's a challenge for black. Growing or emerging companies in a system like that, you know?
That's an interesting thing. I mean, we touch on that quite a bit here. On, you know, the big companies, the big conglomerates, essentially making it difficult for companies like ourselves to go out there and actually get business. Which then also, like, in a very strange way, is why we end up getting a lot of government business, right? Because that is not aligned to, you know, a big conglomerate out there somewhere. Do you think though that it's sustainable that most of the business that comes to small agencies comes from government, and do you then think that there is a way for us to open up or unlock those conversations in collaborations maybe with bigger agencies, for us to actually end up in those boardrooms where we can actually get in front of bigger clients? Have you done something like that?
I mean, as you know, some of the clients which you are quite excited about, which I don't think I should mention right now.
No, we can't talk about that right now. We can't talk about that.
But opportunities like that do exist, because there is a certain belief from brand managers who say, look, we believe in you. We can see the potential.
That's right.
Let's give you an opportunity to actually come in and do the job. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, some of these big agencies aren't even doing a great job.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had these conversations with some of the clients.
Yeah.
Some of them are not our clients.
Shots fired. Yeah.
I won't mention names.
Yeah.
But they're doing a cuck job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're actually going to go in there and actually rescue the situation.
That's what's up. No, but I mean, I think we can't speak lightly of that. And I mean, I tried to stand on the other side of this conversation and you know, be the interviewer. And it's kind of strange to stay on the outside of this when I'm a part of the conversation, because I think it's a very important part that those big brands are playing in allowing people like you and me to come in and have conversations about making their jobs better.
Yeah.
You know, and they sit there with these big contracts with these bigger agencies that are, you know, going to be that are standing for 3, 4, 5 years, but it means you're waiting for 3, 4, 5 years of cack work, like you just put it, you know, and it's a brave call for them to essentially come out and say, you know what, we know that we've got an understanding, but we also know that our work could be better.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's come up with a few other people as well that's where the opportunities for us as small agencies actually lie, where big clients are realizing that there are these insights, there are these ways of working, there are these pieces of work that they actually wish that they had, but because they are locked into, you know,
routines,
understandings, you know what I mean? It's like we've become, it's like there's an Ashley Madison of advertising, you know, where everyone has made it okay for us to have affairs, to put it in a very lewd way. But I think it's very, very important.
But
that
if your partner's not performing, I mean,
you know what I mean? But this metaphor could just extend into very, very strange places. But yes, it's almost like we exist in that Ashley Madison economy of advertising, where it's become fine for clients have woken up to the fact that they've been laying with these people for a while, and these people have become complacent, and just don't have a clue. But the weird thing is that the people they've been laying with don't actually know. Oh, well, maybe they do. Maybe they do know. Do you think they know? Do you think big agencies know that people like yourself and myself and other agencies of our size are coming out there and getting a piece of their business?
They know. They know very well, and they have these conversations, golf coursing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we have to be honest. Unfortunately, we are not in those circles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not friends with Samatun Soro there in England.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And I don't.
It's an expensive flight. I mean, we don't have 6,000 rand. I mean, come on.
It's three, remember? It's three.
That's what's up. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But is that, that's obviously going to lead to a place where people are going to come knocking. I think in my mind, I deduce that's what's going to happen, is that people are going to come knocking, you know, on Makoni's door, you know, and wanting to collaborate. So are collaborations things that Makoni is looking to get into at some point, but as an entity, obviously, and not necessarily as individuals, because you know at Bakoni we're not a group of freelancers. We're an agency that you know functions as a piece of business
with retainer clients,
with certain retainer clients. So the need state is slightly different. But what happens when somebody comes and knocks on Bakoni's door?
Well, depending. Depends who's knocking.
Right.
And
but what do you mean by that? Is that like a culture thing, or is it how much money they got in their pocket? What do you mean depends on what who knocks?
I think more than anything it's chemistry.
Right.
And they believe in the same vision.
Yeah.
So that's quite important. And I mean, you and I have had this conversation before you came on board for a good 4 months.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
That's right.
And you bought into the
I'm
vision.
Not easy, Joe.
Yeah, I know you're not.
I'm not easy, Joe.
Jesus,
I mean don't fuck what you heard. I'm not easy.
You know what I mean? And it's quite important to actually have people who believe in the same vision. You know what I mean? And as you know, Mulewo Insuhume.
That's right. Shout out Lebza.
She's there. She's the pillar of Bakoni, and it took me a good 2 years to actually convince her to move from Cape Town to actually come and join this crazy thing that we're doing. You know what I mean? And you're quite right. I mean, when you said to me, we're sitting on your balcony, you said, Joel, I don't think we know what we're doing, but damn, fuck, let's do it.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean? And we've been running thus far, and the things that we've been running with, we've actually shocked ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We absolutely
the conversations that we're having, the clients that we're actually dealing with at this point in time, these are international clients.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm shocked myself also when I look back from January to now of the work that has been put in and the standards. You know what I mean? And now for us it's just an opportunity to actually up the game.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean?
That's
let's change. It's our chance and our opportunity to actually make things work the way we want them to work.
That's so dope.
There's no way that we can do marketing the same way it's been done 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to look at it differently, because if consumers are changing, why isn't marketing changing with consumers?
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, it's detriment to the brand to say, let's keep this agency that's going to work on this brand if it's doing a gag job.
Yeah.
But you're losing money, you're losing sales, consumers are hating you.
Yeah, I like this phrase, gag job. I love it. It's fantastic. All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna take a break, and I'm gonna let Joe breathe a little bit. We're going to play a track. And then when we come back, what we're gonna do is we're gonna have a chat with Joel again. Talk about you know some of the things that irk him, some of the things that are gonna make his life easier, harder. Where he sees Bakoni going, but also this is also an opportunity for me to play that amazing clip again that you heard of Amatili next week. This is gonna be a mainstay on the show. And there've been a few gems from Joel already that I know are going to make it onto the shots fired list, but yeah, let's take a young break. I'm gonna grab some water. Let Joel grab some water as well. Calm himself down. Change his pants, and then we'll be back.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on cliffcentral.com.
Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
Yo, we're back. It's your man, G-Man, the ad man. And I'm still hanging out with your boy, Joel Lebet. Guys, I don't know who Joel is. I'm still hanging out with your boy, Juska. And we're chilling out, you know, shooting straight from the hip, as he does. I just want to read one or two things that I just got on Facebook and on Twitter. Shout out my little Tobe Jani, acknowledging his shout out. Says it's truly humbling. Thanks, Maloro. Maloro is also one of the first guys I met when I got into advertising. So yeah, I mean, essentially, Maloro has been at the beginning of Bakoni, pretty much before Bakoni knew it was a thing. So shout out, Maloro Tobe Jani. Yeah, and I'm also getting some coincidentally on Facebook. I mean, on Twitter, sorry. We're having people. Someone just posted that Culprit Enter says that you know what VBS just did in one move what would have cost them millions in advertising, and I completely agree. I think you know shout out VBS. You know it's it for me it just makes me feel better because of this economy of smaller companies, of smaller companies essentially rising up to essentially take their spot on the podium. So I think that's really, really hot. Yeah, but I mean, I'm still hanging out with your boy, Juska. Juska, how are you feeling? Are you change your pants? You're good? You got some water? How are you feeling?
I'm good.
Are you good?
I'm
good. You're calm. You come across calm as well, you know? You got some stuff off your chest, you know? It's cool. But I wanna get into it again, you know, Juska. I mean, it's... I know now. Now that I've come to the other side of being at a startup, of being at a small agency, I know how tough it is. Mm. What is it that you think that you think the industry should be doing, right? And you know what? And nobody owes you anything. I've also come to understand that no one owes us anything, right? Because I'll actually give you a little anecdote. I was talking to someone about how. You know, we keep talking about this transformation thing, you know, and some people have built this thing coming from a cultural background of knowing that they are building these agencies in order to give them over to their kids. That's how they build businesses. That's the culture that they come from. And we're coming here saying, you must give me a piece because of PE and all that. But we also know that, you know, reparation is time. Reparation is ripe.
Yeah.
And we actually have to make sure all that happens. So maybe people might think that they don't owe us anything. But what I want to know from you is, What are the major obstacles that you've encountered, right? Yeah. That you think the industry should be dealing with in order to make sure that people like you and I don't have almost a more level playing field, when it comes to getting business, when it comes to pitches, pretty much anything. Yeah.
What are the biggest hurdle? Can I mention brands?
Yeah, mention brands.
For the likes of Unilever.
Right.
It's a challenge actually working on brands like that if you're a local small agency.
Right.
Because they're global alignments.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? So getting into or accessing a system like that becomes a challenge because you're not under WPP or under publicist. Yeah. Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So being local also poses as a big challenge because of the nature of your smallness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But obviously there's certain opportunities that you can unlock.
Yeah.
But it's like, think of it like in government, the rumor you have to know somebody to get business and stuff like that. But the opportunities are available, through your yardsticks.
And to the point that you made, sorry to interrupt you, they're having this conversation, go to golf course anyway, you know? Yeah. And how is that any different to what is being called, you know, the corruption of tenderpreneurs, where conversations are happening, you know, in other spheres that we are not privy to, that make sure that the pieces of business end up there. Is that the same thing, right?
It's the same conversation, it's just packaged differently.
That's what's
up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for us, being a growing agency, it's a big threat in terms of the sustainability of where we're trying to go. You know what I mean? But like I said, I mean, I cannot shoot everybody down.
Yes.
I can say that there have been people who, or brand managers or brand directors who've sat down and said, you know what, I know it's a brave call to make, but I really believe that this agency can help me do my job better.
That's dope.
And actually get me to the point where this business can actually grow.
That is dope. Shout out to all those brand managers. It's the industry is growing because of your bravery, and the industry is growing because of the calls that you're making. You said something earlier, Juska, about media and advertising. You said you're gonna elaborate on why Bakoni was called Bakoni Media, you know, and now we've added the beautiful moniker of advertising. I'm not sure whether it was after I rocked up or you know what I mean.
It's always been there, Grant.
Was it really? Was it really there? Was it?
Can't take the credit for that one.
Well, that's the story I tell people. Talk to me about the relationship between those two and what those mean for Bakoni Media.
So the biggest opportunity that I believe that businesses need to grow is that you need to have a multidimensional approach, you know what I mean? So it has to be communication orientated as opposed to just one-sided.
Right.
So for example, you know, from a media side, we actually buying into media space.
That's right.
Media owning and media
selling. Yes, we are.
And the opportunity there is that the creative that we do has to align with the media that we actually put through. You know what I mean? Because half the time media is booked differently and creative is done separately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the opportunities there is the integration of those two, and how we can do it is actually being in one space. Mm. And it's not just necessarily about ownership.
That's
you can partner up with a media agency, which is what we're doing with Media Sync. You know
that's
what I mean?
Yeah. And shout out Media Sync.
And they've done a great job in terms of township media space. You know, but we say let's elevate this. Let's get guys own billboards on the N1, on the N3. Yeah. You know what I mean? Let's go against the big, the likes of your Continental, you know, or JC Deco,
as they call it now.
You know what I mean? Let's go out there and actually be challenger brands. You know what I mean? Because we can do absolutely anything we want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We cannot be restricted for the fact that I'm a creative, now I can only do creative.
Yes, you know what I mean?
But as creatives, we actually have the opportunity to actually think out of the box and say, let's create our own brands that we can own. And I think that's where businesses need to go. Instead of us actually chasing brands, we need to create brands and actually own them and develop them from their space. Because we are the people that we're essentially talking to.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
So it's quite important to actually start thinking like that, as opposed to, hey, I want a job as a creative to write copy or I want, do you understand what I mean? How about we create ideas that can actually change the world?
And that's exactly it. I mean, I always say that we end up in these, we're always in these conversations about research and so we know firsthand what people need out there.
Absolutely.
And yet we're still waiting for somebody to invent it so we can go pitch on the job.
Do you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
So just to add to your point, I mean, or if you go to a township, most purchase decisions are not made from a billboard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we think traditional media is our God-given savior. You know what I mean? Most of these decisions are made, a decision on a washing powder is made in a salon down LX.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At Dunusa.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
Or at Aus Maria Scotta.
Yeah. Shout out Aus Maria Scotta in Comora.
Oh.
Dopeness all around.
But you see, those are the kind of brands that we need to sit down and say, as marketers, as creatives, how do we develop those brands?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do we help them to be in a competitive space as the likes of your KFC?
Yes, you know what I mean?
And because we do have those powers.
That's
exactly what I mean. And we've been having this conversation for a while to say, look, let's actually go and look at all these small companies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That can't afford any marketing budget.
Yeah.
And actually use that as a CSI from Esba going to say, let's help them because we've got the power and the abilities to actually do that.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean?
And also in a very strange way, we are them. We are a small up-and-coming agency that knows what issues they are probably dealing with, but kind of on a different scale.
Yeah.
But it makes sense for us to partner with those small agencies in order to kind of go out there and come up with solutions.
Yeah.
And I mean, to partner with those small businesses and come up with solutions.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So Juska, tell me what you, I mean, first of all, no, I want to go back a step. How many people do we employ? It's a strange conversation to be having. How many people do we employ? And what happens? Do you have ambitions of expansion? And is there going to be a place where you say, oh, I've stopped expanding because I don't want to be a certain size? You know, we know about, you know, the billion rand Jupiter month. Remember that thing?
Yeah.
And it was an amazing thing. And some say that was essentially the beginning of a big mistake because they grew too big.
Yeah.
So do you think that, how many people do we employ right now? And how big do you think you want Bagone to become?
I mean, permanent, we're six. But obviously, you know, we use a lot of freelancers.
That's
because
right.
of obviously retaining people. It's a big expense.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, it's actually also developing the culture, which is quite important to actually create that foundation and a legacy that we know that by telling that story, whoever's going to come through understands the vision and understand the direction that we are taking.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
That's
so you buy into our vision. So we need to sit down as a team of this six crazy people.
That's right. Trying to take over the world.
Who's trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've seen the challenges, you know, and we're working on big brands, you know, and the work that we're working on is so big. I mean, we're launching COP 17 on the 25th.
That's what's up.
Of September. It's an international conference. And for a small company like us to actually work on such a big brand, it's amazing.
It's a huge achievement. It's a huge achievement.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some of the international clients that we are engaging in and working on, which excites you very much. I know, you know, but the growth definitely. But unfortunately, you have to do it at a steady pace. And
that's
like
right.
I said, the school fees of me failing first, got me into the space of understanding. Or you cannot push to say, okay, there's 20 of us, there's 25 of us, or 100 of us. Now it feels big, but there's 100 of you, but you're not doing anything, and you're producing kak work.
Yeah. Love that phrase, kak work.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true.
And just to add on, and for me, it was quite important to say, look, let me put my pride aside and say, as a creative, I'm not going to concentrate on creative at all. You know
that's
what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
And I know the likes of Josie, who's your right man, and Richard.
Shout out Josie. Shout out Mricho.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But the important thing is also to acknowledge that if you want to grow, you need to get people who are actually better than you.
Yeah.
Do you know what
That's
I mean?
True. That's
and,
true.
And it's quite important to actually understand that it's about their ambition and the vision that will make you great.
Yeah.
You know
Got
what
you.
I mean?
Completely.
And that's exactly where I think Bakoni is going.
And for me, you know, to just add on to that, you know, for me, what's important about Bakoni is that, you know, there's always this question that people ask you. So what's the thing about you guys? You know, which always baffles me because. Nobody, I've never, in the time that I spent at FCB and the time that I spent at Ogilvy, nobody's ever, I've never heard anybody ask them, what's Ogilvy's thing? What's FCB's, you know, what's your thing? And what happens is, I think a lot of people expect us to come out and say things like, no, we've got the mass market down, you know? Which we do. We've got the mass market down and that's fantastic.
But that's natural though.
That's natural. That makes perfect sense to me. But what I think, what agencies like people like The Odd Number have done, is that it made it clear that that's not just what we do.
No.
We happen to have the added benefit of knowing the Absolutely. Mass market very well.
Yeah.
But we can work on international brands any damn day.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's important for brands like people like The Odd Number, for example, who go out there and have a piece of the BBC business, which makes you understand that, you know, our capabilities go beyond just being able to sell Norox to Osnor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We actually have the capabilities. And my vision for Bakoni is actually to make sure that people understand that. Understand the fact that we have more than just the capability of doing great local content. We can do that. We do that red hella well.
Yeah.
But we also have the wherewithal, as Z would say, to actually go out there and take on big clients.
Yeah.
So once again, Juska,
these
conversations feel like they could carry on forever.
Yeah.
But our hour is up, bro.
Yeah.
It feels like it flew by, as they always do. Mm. I'm going to give you 15, 20 seconds, right? What is one last thing that you'd like to say to you know, the advertising world out there about yourself, about Bakoni? What do you want them to know?
One, Asnovalo. that's the first thing. And we're definitely going in. We're not going to be apologetic about anything.
Dope.
You know what I mean? We know that we're great. And whoever is seeing the same vision that we are trying to, or the same who's trying to walk the same road that we're trying to walk, we're willing to sit down and say, look guys, let's have a conversation. Let's see how we can actually be a big brand all together. Yeah. We don't have to change or buy each other.
Yeah.
We can actually form consortiums where we say, look guys, media, creative, production, content.
Okay, that's it. All right, cool, we're done. Hours up. Once again, if this show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Get the podcast. We didn't swear too much. Play it for your moms. Cheers. Bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.